Paul was persecuted often during his ministry, but he never lost the ability to love. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Despite this persecution, it didn't diminish Paul's love for the brethren. I love that. The persecution without should cause us to love each other more within, in the church. And unfortunately, the persecution with outside sometimes seeps into the church, and then the church takes on political correctness, the church takes on the mentality and the spirit of the world, and then we start devouring each other. But the persecution without ought to cause us to love each other even more within.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
God has promised to never leave you or forsake you, and He is faithful to His promises. With that in mind, we bring you The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, a ministry of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. Another promise we don't often claim is that those who seek to live godly lives will suffer persecution. This was true of the Thessalonian Christians, and yet they stood firm in persecution for the gospel's sake. But that raises the question, why does the gospel arouse such opposition? As we'll hear on today's broadcast, the gospel ignores all human achievement. Here's Pastor Al to tell us more.
I've entitled this message, Imitators and Adversaries. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are to be imitators of Christ, and indeed we will have adversaries. And Paul talks about that here within our text. I think it's an important message today, because we live in a time where there's great persecution in the church. And Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica because they probably were beginning to feel like they had been abandoned by God, that this persecution and things are going wrong. And man, it seemed like the moment I came to Christ, everything just kind of just went crazy, you know. Maybe some of you have had that experience. You've come to the Lord and your life seemed to be okay. And then you came to the Lord and all of a sudden just all heck broke loose, amen. And just wondering, man, what happened? I gave my life to Jesus and all these things are happening and my friends don't call me anymore because they don't want anything to do with me and all these type of things. And the persecution can come in. And when you're going through trials and you're going through persecution, long periods of time, and sometimes you grow weary. And I believe Paul, sensing this, wanted to address the persecution they were going through here in verses 14 to 20. And so this is what Paul wants to do is to address that, but also to encourage the hearts of the believers that it's going to be all right. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that as well, that it's going to be all right, that the persecution and all that's coming against us is not something strange, but that God is going to bring us through it so that we can continue, we should continue to press on in the Lord rather than to become stagnant or become discouraged, to feel like God has maybe abandoned us, but He hasn't. God wants us to press on despite the opposition that we might face because we are chosen. We have chosen to walk with Jesus Christ. So he begins to encourage the heart that we're going to be looking at today. First, Paul addresses the imitators. We're going to look at the imitators of Christ. And then secondly, we're going to look at the adversaries of Christ as well. And so we begin here at verse 14. Let's read the text and then we will come back and we begin to unpack the Word of God and pray that God would give you ears to hear what He has to say to you today, to His church today. But verse 14, the Word of God reads, "For you, brethren," Paul writes, "became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and joy. Paul begins to encourage the believers by reminding them that imitation invites persecution. There in verse 14, he says, "For you are you, brethren, are imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus." Imitators of the church of God, imitators, that word imitators literally means followers. You are followers of not the church, but of Jesus Christ, and like the churches in Judea. And thereby, because you are a follower, you are an offense to the world. I hope that isn't wasted on you. I hope you understand that as a Christian and living in this world, you stink as far as the world is concerned. You're an offense to the world. And Paul reminds the church that, you know, this persecution you're going through, listen, it is not some weirdness or whatever, but because you seek to be a follower, imitator of Jesus Christ. Now, the word imitation, it means the action of using someone or something as a model. In other words, you are an offense to the world because your model as you live in the world is not, you know, Hollywood, is not, you know, what the world is saying, but your model as a believer is Jesus Christ. You're following a different model. Amen. That's who you're modeling yourself after, is after Jesus Christ. You know, people follow all kind of models all the time. Amen. And they try to emulate or try to look like or reflect that which they, you know, they worship. And they think they're kind of a bad guy or whatever. I know back in our day, my day, I should say, amen, it was Shaft. You know, you had to look like Shaft. And I had the black leather coat and the long coat. I did, you know, the music, you know, bonk, 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 bonk. Shaft, amen. I thought I was Shaft, but I wasn't, amen. But I had the black leather coat. And we want to model the things that we worship, you know. You worship fashion or style or whatever, we try to model those things. And so we as believers, we are to model ourselves after Jesus Christ. And that's why you are such an offense to the world. And yet, at the same time, you know, I mean, the world is supposed to be a tolerant place. Everybody talks about tolerance and you know, you don't want to offend anybody. And we live in that climate today. And it has gotten really ridiculous. Because even though we say that we don't want to offend and we should be tolerant to everybody, Christianity is intolerable. Isn't that amazing? We tolerate everything but Jesus. Amen. And I was just reading the other day, you talk about not offending people. You probably heard the story of the daycare center in Massachusetts that has basically outlawed the kids using the term, here it is, best friend. This little girl was calling this other girl her best friend. She's my best friend. They said, you can't say that because you make everybody else feel like they're not a part of the clique, you know. They're not accepted. They may be offended by that. So you can't use the phrase best friend. So the little girl is running around the house and, you know, after they told her this at daycare, now she's kind of like, Mom, my best friend. And then she kind of looks out the corner of her eye like, I don't know if I should be saying that. I was like, here we are governing, you know, political correctness with a three-year-old, you know. This kind of stuff. So it's like the world has gone mad, you know, or either I just need to leave or something because, you know, the Bible says thinking themselves wise, they will become fools. And I think we just have a bunch of fools running around today thinking that they're wise. But this whole idea of tolerance and yet the world is really intolerable of Christianity because of the name of Jesus is not anything new. In fact, I was reading an article entitled, Why Were Christians Persecuted? Talking about the early church. Why was the early church persecuted? An article said this, and it just reminded me that we live in such a time as the Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonica, the situation they're facing here that Paul is addressing, it's the same thing today. This is what the historians have written. It says, the article said, how was it that the church underwent such sacrifices? The Roman religion was not intolerant. The Roman religion was not intolerant. Rome had accepted into its pantheon deities from Italian tribes and from Asia Minor. In the provinces, the great territorial gods such as Saturn in North Africa and Jehovah among the Jews were accepted as legal religion on the grounds that their rites, even if they were barbarous, were sanctified by ancient tradition. Countless local gods and goddesses worshipped by the ordinary inhabitants of the Greco-Roman world were often provided with a classical equivalent name and worshipped as Roman deities. Despite this tolerance, this toleration, by the early second century, the Roman governor of Bithynia, which is located on the Black Sea, had no hesitation in sending to immediate execution those who had been denounced as being Christians. The name alone was a sufficient death warrant, close quote. So it is today. You tell somebody you're a Christian, you name the name of Jesus, you mention Jesus at the office party, it's a death warrant. Even to this day. And yet we live at a time where, where everybody's so tolerant and we don't want to offend anybody except when it comes to Christianity. But didn't Jesus say it would be that way? In John chapter 15, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me first. Amen. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, then the world would love you, love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Amen. Amen. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. This is why there's so much hostility, so much vitriol against the church, against those who would model themselves after Jesus Christ. So just, you know, get the notion out of your mind that somehow, I'm going to have unity with the world and the world's going to, we're going to come together and they're going to say, you know, everything's just great and the world's going to get along with the church. It's never going to happen because they do not know God. It's not going to happen. And woe to those churches and woe to those believers who seek to be friends with the world. Not that you can't be friendly and have, but you cannot have what is called koinonia, oneness, unity, because you're not of the same spirit. And there are a lot of churches that have capitulated and have, you know, kind of toned down and watered down the gospel and been open to other ideologies and other thoughts and have diminished the gospel of Jesus Christ in the name of unity with the world. And you can't have unity with the world. Jesus said, you're not greater than your master. Jesus couldn't get along the world, but somehow we're going to find unity. Amen. It's foolishness.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As we course our way through the year 2022, there are a lot of uncertainties. If there's one thing that needs to be consistent, it's the broadcasting of sound Bible teaching, like you hear every day on The Dwelling Place. We need your financial support to continue this radio ministry. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now here's Pastor Al with the conclusion of today's message titled, Imitators and Adversaries.
Thus Paul reminds the church here in Thessalonica that this persecution that you're facing because you desire to model yourself after Christ, because you desire to be imitators of Christ, is not uncharacteristic of those who desire to be followers of Jesus Christ. And I would say this, show me a church that's at peace with the world, and I'll show you a dead church. Show me a church that's at peace with the world, and I'll show you a dead church. Sure, the Bible says we should seek to live at peace with all men. Amen. We should pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And we should pursue peace. And as much as depends on you, live at peace with all men. But the reality is that if we're trying to capitulate to the world so that we can have peace in the name of unity, we can no longer expect to have the power of God among us. And so you show me a church that's at peace with the world, that has embraced the world, that has compromised the gospel, I'll show you a dead church. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, he said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. Amen. I mean, when you're trying to live for Jesus, everybody ain't going to like you. I'm just here to tell you right now. Everybody's not going to like you if you're seeking to follow Jesus. And I know as a pastor, if I'm seeking to follow Jesus, you know, I'm not going to please everybody in the church. And any pastor that tries to please everybody in the church is going to be out of the ministry in a short time. You can't do it. You can't please everybody. Amen. You know, the old song, you can't please everyone, but you got, you know, so just please yourself. No, please the Lord. Amen. Please the Lord. Because when you're living for the Lord, you know, people are going to be at odds against you. You can't please everybody. If everybody's speaking well of you, you better step back. Somebody got a knife in their hand if they're patting you on the back. Amen. Be careful. When all men speak well of you, you can never keep everybody happy, but you need to please the Lord. Amen. And the scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's not on the screen, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, says, everyone who seeks to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So again, Paul is making it known to them that, listen, there's nothing strange going on here. Peter said, think it not strange when you fall into diverse trials and situations and you suffer for the Lord. Don't think it's strange, because it is natural, because the world is not modeling itself after Jesus, but after the spirit of Antichrist. And we are followers of Christ. So you can't have Antichrist and Christ together. It just doesn't work. It's anti-Christ. Amen? And even when it comes to those who are closest to us, you know, you gave your life to the Lord, and sometimes even those who are closest to you, you know, also, you know, all of a sudden become your enemies. And Paul points out that very fact. You know, as he talks about the fact that even your countrymen, the latter part of verse 14, your own countrymen have turned against you, just as they did from the Judeans. The Judeans against the church in the southern region of Israel. He's talking about the area, region around Jerusalem and all. Southern Israel, that's Judea. And he said, in Judea, they turned against their own brethren. Their own brethren came against their own countrymen. In other words, Jews came against their own Jews, I mean, their own people. In particular, led by the religious group, the Sanhedrin, which is made up of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they would come out against them. And then, of course, there were the Judaizers, who are also coming out against followers of Jesus Christ, the imitators of Jesus Christ. And who are the Judaizers? The Judaizers were those Jews who said they converted to Christianity, but they've demanded that the Christians keep the whole law of the Old Testament in order to truly be saved. And Paul wrote a whole book to refute that notion called the Book of Galatians. Amen. That we're saved by grace and not according to the law. So, these people were coming out against the Judeans, coming out against the church in southern Israel, the church that started in Jerusalem. And just as the Thessalonians were finding their Thessalonian brethren coming out against them. So Paul was, again, letting them know it's okay. And sometimes, you know, you may be going through that right now. You may be going through a time where, you know, Jesus, you came to Christ and you thought it would bring unity in your home, and it brought division. You thought it would bring you closer to your friends, and they would be excited about Jesus Christ. And when you start sharing with them how the Lord changed your life, they'd be excited, and they became your enemies. Why is that? Because Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace. That shocks a lot of people. He said, but I came to bring a sword, to bring division between husband and wife, division between family members, division between friends. Because why? Because now you're of another spirit. Amen? So this notion of, God just wants us, the world and the church to be united. No, he came to bring a sword, man. So when people get upset with me and people, you know, don't like what I'm preaching or whatever, I get it. We're not of the same spirit. Because Jesus came to bring division. He didn't come to capitulate, amen. He came to bring a sword. And so even our own friends, our own families can sometimes become enemies. Not because of something you did, but because of the decision you made to follow Jesus Christ, to model your life after the Lord. Now, in verse 17, despite this persecution, it didn't diminish Paul's love for the brethren. I love that. The persecution without should cause us to love each other more within, in the church. And unfortunately, the persecution with outside sometimes seeps into the church. And then the church takes on political correctness. The church takes on the mentality and the spirit of the world. And then we start devouring each other. But the persecution without ought to cause us to love each other even more within. Paul says in verse 17, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, our heart's still with you. endeavor more eagerly to see your face with great desire. So the persecution didn't diminish Paul's love for the church in Thessalonica. It just enhanced it. In other words, you could say Paul's absence caused his heart to grow fonder of the church there in Thessalonica. And there's another thing here that I see that by verse 17 that he talks about his great love for them and his desire to see them. And Paul wasn't there, but yet chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians tells us that the church was exploding, man, and impacting the whole region, you know, ancient Greece and the regions beyond because of the reputation of this young Christian church in Thessalonica. And how was that? Paul wasn't, he couldn't get to them. He was there for a time, but then he was separated from them, but yet God was still working. Why is that? Because Paul was praying. Paul was praying. How do I know that? Well, chapter 1, verse 2 tells us, Paul says, we give thanks to God always to you all, making mention of you in our prayers. I love that. It's a great encouragement to me in regards to prayer. When I can't be someplace, God can. Yes, sir. Amen? I know some of you have children, adult children who have gotten away from the Lord, or teenage children who are rebelling or whatever, or you teenagers who know the Lord, you've got friends who don't, you know, want to follow Christ, or maybe who are against you now, and, you know, all these things have, listen, prayer works. Yes, amen? And we can't be there, but you know what? There's an Air Force, but there's also a prayer force, amen? And you can pray in the name of Jesus, amen? And God was doing a great work among the Thessalonian believers. Paul wasn't there, but he was praying, amen? So keep praying. Just kind of a sidebar, but keep praying. So to be imitators today of Jesus, to model ourselves after Jesus Christ. Man, it's a lifelong endeavor. We're disciples of Jesus. It's to be rejected by the world, but it is to be pleasing to God. And we need to understand that if we're going to follow Christ, that there is persecution, that there is a cost to following Jesus. There's no such thing as costless discipleship. So when you go to work, that's why they don't ask you to come into the parties and different things. I know many times when I was working out in the world and, they didn't tell me the jokes or they were joking about me and call me names like preacher boy and stuff like that. And, oh, man, I could have so many more friends if it wasn't for the name. But I'd rather bear the reproach of Christ and be with Jesus, amen, than to have the approval of the world, amen.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. You can listen to today's message again, watch the video version, or download an MP3 with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al with you wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I'd also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.